without failure, what good is success? Because it's, you know, you're always winning. You don't, you just take it for granted.
DizRens Radio, episode 461 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to DizRens Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is sponsored in part by the good folks from Ultra, the makers of the shoes that I wear, and increasingly the shorts that I enjoy, the running shorts that I enjoy the most as well. That's right, they do make more than just shoes now. And for the last year and a half or so, they've started an apparel line. So, you know, shorts and outerwear, jackets, shirts, tanks, racing tees, racing tanks, you know, leggings, skorts, I think, for the ladies. Although obviously I don't do much research into that side of things, but all different kinds of running apparel. And so far, so good. I've got one of the windbreakers, which is awesome. The shorts are great. You know, the windbreaker, like I not using it a whole lot right now, but, later this fall, maybe in the winter, I might pull it out a few times, but, the stuff is high quality, just like you'd expect from the brand. So, if you're in the market and you want to check some stuff out, head over to dizruns.com/ultra. That's ALTRA and, look around and shop to your heart's content. And, with that, let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, if you've been listening to the show for a while, today's guest may sound a little bit familiar. He made his first appearance on the show back in episode 215, and he's now back for a long overdue round two. In case you missed that first episode, I'll try and bring you up to speed real quick. So he started out at over 400 pounds and knew that he needed to lose some weight and improve his health. He made some simple dietary changes, started walking, and eventually got to the point where he could actually run a little bit. A lot of his motivation and education about running came from business and self-help books, not so much from running and fitness. So fast forward today, and he's continuing to push the limits. He's always running epic. He's an ultra marathoner times, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, a bunch of times, several marathons as well. And I'm excited to be able to find out the latest and greatest and what's new in the life of Mr. Gary Stotler. So Gary, thanks for joining us again, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate you giving me a call.
Yeah, definitely. It's like I said, long overdue. I know we've kind of talked back and forth a few times and about when to make it work. And as we'll get into, there's a reason that we kind of pushed it back to where we are today. But we'll get into that as we go. Guys, if you want to check out more about you know, kind of what Gary's got going on and some great posts and blog posts and things like that, check out the website outrunyourexcuses.com. And if you know, on the social medias, you can connect with Gary at a couple different places. Instagram and Facebook is the same place. The handle there is you know, just 400226.2. So that's 400226 and then dot and then the number 2 again. On the Twitter, they make him take that dot out and actually spell it out. So it's 400226.2 and that's 400226. Point POINT and then the number 2 again. And if that's all confusing, that's a little too much to take in with whatever it is you got going on right now, you know we'll have all those things linked up as well in the show notes. And we'll also link back to his original episode as well. If you missed that one, you want to check out episode 215. You can get to it maybe on your phone, because sometimes those podcast apps, they only allow a certain number of episodes, and we're getting close to that cutoff point. So it may be there, but if not, we'll link it in the show notes for this episode. And again, this one is 461. So dizruns.com/461 to get back to the show notes, all the places to connect with Gary, links, yada, yada, yada. So enough of that house cleaning stuff. Let's get down to the fun stuff. Gary, we'll start off with the same introductory question, because I know some things have changed for you running wise in the last year and a half or a little more than that, that it's been since we chatted. So we'll start off with the same place. And if the answer is the same, then we'll mix it up a little bit. But I'm really honestly curious to see if the answer has changed. And that's to the same question as always. What is your favorite distance to race and why?
Wow, a lot has changed. You know, I'm gonna have to go with 100 miles now, and the whole reason for that is 100 miles is a whole different challenge, and I've finished one, and I've DNF'd one now, and 100 miles is an experience like no other. The physical, the mental, everything that goes into it, the preparation, the fact that it'll just change your life and what it takes to even toe the line at 100 miles, let alone when you finish it and when you don't finish it, it's life-changing.
Yeah, I went back and listened to our first chat earlier this morning before we had our call, and I almost smiled at myself because I couldn't remember what you had said to the answer for this question. I don't know if you even remember, but you'd said the half marathon. So yeah, quite the difference between 13.1 and 100 miles. That's quite the difference in favorite races.
I've another reason I love 100 miles is I love pacing and crewing 100 miles. And I'd actually, obviously I'd prefer to crew and pace 100 miles than run one myself, but I just love the determination and what it takes to get that far. And, you know, helping people cross that finish line it's an experience in itself, and watching them push themselves to the limit and then continue going. If you ever need a pick me up, or if you ever need a smile, just go sit at a finish line of 100 miles, and it'll take your breath away.
Yeah, I'm sure that's certainly. I don't know that entering a race, entering a 100 mile race is something. I'm past the point of never saying never, but I don't know that I have any desire to at this point. But yeah, I would love to spectate, to maybe do some crew in, to like you said, to be at the finish line and just see. Oh, I can't begin to imagine what it would be like. But I mean, you've done it once, and I wasn't even sure that I realized that. So when did you know? At the point we talked, you know, like I said, it was about a year and a half ago. You know, and you'd done, I think, maybe an unofficial ultra at that point, a couple of marathons, and we're kind of gearing up towards doing the 50 miler. I think it was the 50 miler at Leadville last year. Where did that original 100 miler that you finished come into play? Where was that first 100 miler in this whole timeline of things?
So let's see. We had talked when I was getting ready for Silver Rush 50 last year. And when I finished Silver Rush in the Leadville series, they give away, they have a drawing at the end of the race for everyone that finishes and wants to enter. And I won my coin into Leadville. So I knew I was in Leadville for this year, 13 months ago. And so as I was going through the rest of the summer, I came out to Leadville last year to crew and pace. And as I was continuing my training through August, September, October, I was feeling fantastic. I was feeling great. And I said, what do I need to do? Because my goal for Leadville this year was the 25 hours. And so, well, what do I do to get my 25 hours? And I figured, well, hell, there's nothing better to do than run 100 miles to train for 100 miles. And so in November, I signed up for the Buffalo Run 100 in Utah, which was in middle of March. And I chose it for a couple of reasons. One, it was the only one that I could find in my area that I wasn't going to have to fly for. And then the second one was it was on the fourth anniversary of me stepping on the scale at 400 pounds. And so it had several reasons that I wanted to do that particular race. So I went out and I finished it on the fourth anniversary of stepping on the scale at 400 pounds.
Wow, that's quite the, like you said, I mean, a couple of different reasons. That's quite the powerful one of like, man, 4 years ago, I was 400, and now look at me. That had to be a pretty special moment for you.
It was an extremely special moment. It was a sense of accomplishment that I've never ever felt before, and of all the stuff I've ever done. Physically, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Mentally, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I'm happy that I got it done.
Yeah, definitely. What was you know, like you said, physically very difficult, mentally very difficult. You know, I've talked to several folks that have done various distances of ultras, and you know, up to, including, and even surpassing the 100 mile mark, which is even more mind boggling to me than just doing a, you know, than quote unquote just doing 100 miles, but if you had to categorize, and I don't know if it's even a possible thing to separate them apart, but would you say for you and in your experience, more difficult mentally or physically?
100 miles is more difficult mentally. than anything. It truly is 90% mental and the other half is physical.
How do you prepare mentally for a race like that?
I have no idea. I think when I was going into March, I had, once I signed up in November, I mentally and physically crashed. Mm-hmm. And so my training going into my first 100 was just, it was terrible. I live in Laramie, Wyoming. It was negative 20, negative 40 degree with a wind chill. It was physically unsafe to get outside. And I wake up at stupid times in the middle of the night and get my runs in so that I can work a full-time job. And, you know, when it's that cold, it's physically unsafe to be outside. And, you know, the rec center doesn't open till 5. And so I had tons of excuses not to run. And I did a lot of power hiking in the snow as much as I could and just tried to focus on time on feet. But going in, you know, I was physically unprepared. So I think knowing that I was physically unprepared, I had to prepare myself mentally for how much it was going to hurt, how much it was going to suck. Mm-hmm. And so when I went in, I said, there's nothing else other than it's going to suck. Prepare yourself for it mentally and just know that it's going to suck 30 hours. So just suck it up, buttercup, and deal with it. And I had that motivation of I have to get it done. And so I just said, there's no other option than to get it done. And so I think just for months, I knew that it was going to suck. So that's how I just thought about it every day. What do I have to do today to make today suck so that it sucks as the least that it can?
Right. Were there points along along that route or along that course in March that you came close to throwing in the towel or were you pretty mentally strong throughout?
I got a blister at mile 38, and so when I got to mile 50, I had been on this blister on my left foot for 12 miles, which was several hours. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like quitting at mile 50. I just knew my crew drained the blister and I got me refreshed. And then I got my pacer at mile 50. So she kept me going for quite a while. And then about a mile out of that mile 58 station, because I was compensating for my left foot, I got a blister on my right foot. And so I was on blisters for a good solid 62 miles. And, you know, even with those, I just kept going, just kept pushing as much as I could. And I'm sure my pacer would probably come up with a couple times that I was ready to throw in the towel, but I don't remember wanting to actually quit. Mm. There was a couple times I wanted to slow down,
right.
Or maybe sit there and just cry my eyes out for a while, but I don't remember actually wanting to quit during that one. Yeah, I don't remember, but
gotcha.
You know, I also tried to block out a lot of the mental aspects of that because it first sucked, but.
Right, right. But you know, I feel like, you know, and again, this is from somebody who's done all of one ultras and it was, you know, a 50K. So nowhere near, you know, a third, I guess, of what the 100 milers are like. But, you know, I feel like if you're going into it with maybe being underprepared, just because of, like you said, the circumstances, you couldn't be well-trained for that. And, you know, with all the mental, work, you know, training that you had done by just, like you said, telling yourself, this is going to be tough. There's going to be times that it's a struggle. It's going to suck. I feel like for me, I would have found a dozen excuses to say, you know what, you know, I ran 60 miles. I ran 70 miles. Whatever the case might be, my feet are killing me. I got these blisters. Like, this is pretty darn good, and I'm gonna call it a day. So you know, I don't know exactly what my question is, other than, you know, I mean, you found a way to keep going. You found a way to press on. Any idea where that motivation, that desire, that unwillingness to even you know, like you're saying, even maybe have even thought about quitting, even though it was a struggle. You know, any idea where that came from?
I think it was my head at the time. I was so determined to get to that 100-mile mark on that fourth anniversary that I didn't want to feel like a failure in my own eyes. Forget about what anybody else was going to say. I didn't want to feel like a failure to myself. And I think that that was my ultimate drive. That was my why for that race. And I was determined not to quit. And that's one thing I missed this weekend was that determination.
Gotcha. And we'll get into that in a second. But coming out of that race, how did your body respond? How were you feeling afterwards? Whether it's a week, 10, a couple weeks, a month even, what was your experience with the recovery process after your first 100-miler like?
I finished about 5:30 or something that night, and we drove back to the place that we were staying at. I ate a piece of pizza, had a beer, fell asleep during the second piece of pizza that I was going to have. Woke up the next morning, I was stiff as could be. My legs were they were toast. My feet hurt. It hurt to walk because my blisters had hardened. And so it took a couple days of just soaking my feet before I could walk somewhat normal. And so that ended Sunday afternoon. I had a friend come to town the next Saturday, and we went out for a 2-mile, just a nice little 2-mile jog. And I gave myself that week of just complete recovery. I ate what I wanted. I drank what I wanted. I just didn't care. And then when I went out for that 2-mile run, I felt pretty good. Legs were still a little sore, so I took that Sunday off. Monday, I woke up and I said, Leadville training starts today. And so to get myself back into a routine, which I think I've talked about my routine before, that's the most important thing for me, is I told myself, no matter what, for the next 7 days, I have to do at least 1 mile. And I don't care if I do it at my normal time, if I do it after work, as long as I get my 1 mile in, then, I'll get back to my routine in no time. So for 4 days, I was sporadic. I went out and, I did like a couple miles here, a couple miles there. And then on that fifth day, I woke up at my normal time, and it was like my brain just clicked back into routine mode. And so I woke back up at, my normal time in the morning. And, after that, on that fifth day, 5, 6, and 7, I woke up and did several miles at my normal time. And then, so it took me a week of recovery, a week of getting back in my routine, and then I hit the ground running, and I absolutely crushed my training from the end of March all the way through Leadville when I started to taper.
Wow.
Beginning of August.
That's awesome. I was anticipating it was going to take a little bit longer than that. So that's, kudos to you for having a good plan, and obviously, figuring out knowing what works for you from probably past experience, and having given yourself a little bit of time, because I know that's something a lot of runners struggle with, even after longer races. It doesn't matter, like that, taking that time off without running is tough for a lot of us. So good job, and obviously like you said, you got back into it, and the training went well. So we've talked about Leadville a couple times, and as we're recording this, it's like a couple 3 days after the event. So wounds are still a little bit fresh, so you had a DNF this weekend. Excuse me, if memory serves, I think it was about 69, 70 miles, something like that, that you made it before it was your time. And for those that aren't aware, I mean, Leadville's got like, what, about a 50% dropout rate anyway. So it's not like, it's no shame in not finishing Leadville your first time. But what was, overall, other than the fact that obviously you didn't hit the goal, you didn't get the belt buckle from Leadville this time, other than that, what was your experience like this weekend at Leadville? We'll just start it from there and see where it takes us, and then we'll kind of get into some more details as we go.
Yeah, so Leadville itself has become like a second home to me. I've spent a lot of time down here. I'm about 3.5-hour drive away. And so I've spent a lot of time down here. And the friends that have become family to me I love the atmosphere around here, and I got to see a lot of people. So the experience itself is like nothing you've ever experienced before. Ken and Mary Lee are just fantastic people. They're so personable. You can walk up to them, you can say hi, you can take pictures with them. And, you know, Leadville itself is I feel like it's heaven. So, you know, whether I finished or whether you're just coming down to just hang out and watch the race series in general, it's like no other place on earth. And race itself, I knew it's hard. It's physically demanding. I've been on the course. I've been on most of the course throughout the last year. And I knew it was physically demanding coming in, and I had physically prepped myself. I just hadn't mentally prepped myself. And that was my biggest mistake from the last couple of weeks, last couple of months, is the lack of mental preparation.
Was that something that maybe you knew or at least thought was going to be a problem going in, or is that a case of hindsight is 2020 where, I don't want to say that you made a conscious decision to not prepare as much mentally, but going in, you know, I mean, I think a lot of runners, you know, at least for myself, you know, before a race, I know like, all right, did I do everything? Or maybe is there one box that I left unchecked or something like that? Did you have that type of experience or did you not really realize it until after the fact?
I realized at mile 26, which was about a mile out of the Outward Bound aid station, when I forgot my poles, that I realized that I hadn't done what I didn't. I didn't do the due diligence that I needed to do. I know this course back and forth, inside out. I had not prepped my crew properly. I had not prepped my bags properly. I was a mile out. I forgot my poles. And then I started going through all of the stuff that I did wrong the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months. I prepped myself physically for everything I needed to do. And I went through all those little bitty things that I missed. And so I beat myself up for 3 hours in between Outward Bound and Twin Lakes. And it was devastating to me. Even when I got to Twin Lakes, I still physically felt good, and I was going into Hope Pass. I know Hope Pass inside and out. I know every stupid rock on that section. And so when I came through, I felt good. I felt like I was going into the wheelhouse of my race. And I cruised up Hope Pass. And one thing that I hadn't prepared myself for was seeing my friends struggling. And I passed a really, really, really dear friend of mine who was struggling. And as I passed him, he's like, you know, you're crushing it. Keep going. And I was like, no, dude, you look like shit. I'm going to stay with you. And he told me, no, go get your buckle. And at that point, I looked at him and I said, right now, I no longer care about this buckle. I care about getting you over the pass. And he said, get your ass out of here. I don't want to see you again. And so I cruised up Hope Pass and down the other side of Hope Pass, and I kept seeing dear friends of mine struggling, and I hadn't prepared myself to see them struggling. And as I was headed into Winfield, which is the turnaround, I saw a friend of mine who I know there was nobody more prepared for this race than him. And when I saw him struggling coming back the other way, I was just devastated. And I said, man, if he feels this bad, what am I going to feel like in 6 miles when I'm coming back? And so I thought way too much. I got in my own head way too much. And then when I got to Winfield, I didn't feel very good. I had a stomach issue, and I was trying to take care of that. And again, I hadn't prepped my crew properly. So I came out of mile 50 unprepared, to start coming back the other way. And then I saw two of my friends that were just devastated. I mean, they looked awful, and I knew they were done, at that point in time. And then as I was coming back out of Winfield, I looked at the time and I knew that I saw four dear friends again. When I saw them going into Winfield, I knew they were going to miss the cutoff. And I was devastated for them. And I just let that get to my head. And then as I was coming back, Hope Pass, I couldn't breathe. I started getting altitude sickness, which of all the times I've been up here, I've never got altitude sickness. But my stomach hurt. I got a headache. I was dizzy. And it took everything I had to just take those steps up and over Hope Pass. And it was freaking freezing up there. It started snowing, hailing. I don't know what it was. You can call it what you want. It was freaking cold, which I knew it was going to be. And you just got to push through it. But yeah, and then, you know, I started to chafe on the way back, and my bag wasn't properly full of what I needed to have. I got talked into changing some things, and I didn't have Vaseline. I had some other stuff that wasn't working very well. And then when I was coming down, my legs didn't want to work, and I wouldn't run. I've run down this side of Hope Pass so many times, and I've crushed it, and I just couldn't get my legs to move fast enough. I couldn't get my mind to make myself go. Then when I was coming into Twin Lakes, I heard somebody say something about a cutoff, and we looked at the time, and I was like, oh shit, I gotta go. So I ran the last mile and a half, 2 miles. I made the cutoff by 2 minutes, leaving Twin Lakes, and you had to get out of Twin Lakes by 10 o'clock. And so I had to get past the timing chip, and I got crewed on the other side. So I didn't eat. I changed my shoes and my socks because I'd just come through the water crossing, and it was starting to get cold. But I, you know, I didn't, wasn't able to change clothes. I changed my shoes and socks, which is the necessity. Got some Vaseline. I didn't get coffee. I didn't get half the stuff that I needed, which again was lack of prep work, lack of mental prep. And then the climb out of Twin Lakes is a good solid, I bet it's 2 mile, 3 mile climb out of Twin Lakes. And I struggled. And when we got to the top of the climb, my pacer, he's like, we got to go. We got to push. So I was still running at mile 63. So I knew my body was good. My foot had been hurting for a long time. And I pushed through. We got to mile 69, which is half pipe. And been falling asleep for about 20, 30 minutes. So I knew I needed coffee. I knew I needed to eat because I hadn't eaten in 2-3 hours, which is not good.
Right.
You should be consuming, you know, several hundred calories an hour. And I hadn't had any calories in a couple hours. And so when we got there, I made the cutoff by about 10, 15 minutes. And I got some food, got some coffee. Someone that knows me from Instagram was there, and he gave me a quick pep talk, and I was ready to go. And as we were leaving, I looked at my pacer and I said, look, how long do we have? He goes, we have about an hour and 20 minutes to get 7 miles. And that's like 10, 11 minute miles. And I wasn't feeling, I mean, my foot was killing me at this point. And I still couldn't breathe. I could take, you know, I could run for about 15 seconds, and then I'd have to keel over because I couldn't get the oxygen in my lungs. We took about a quarter of a mile walk, and, you know, we stopped for a second, and I looked at him, and I said, look, what's the realisticness of us making it? And he said, it's completely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stopped, you know, as we stopped, he said, well, what's more important to you? He said, Is it about just, would you rather get swept from the course, or would you rather just quit and call it a day? And I told him, I said, I'd rather get swept from the course. And he looked at me and he said, is it worth long-term foot damage to get swept from the course rather than quitting? And it took me about 15 to 20 seconds of extreme thought. And I said, well, I'd rather be able to, you know, I'd rather not break my foot or, you know, risk long-term damage. I'd rather just call it a day and be able to, you know, live to run another day. And so he said, okay, that's what we're going to do then. So we walked a quarter mile back to the aid station, and I turned in my wristband and sat down and
that was that.
began began devastation.
And I don't mean to laugh at you, because I hope you know that that's not the case. It's just, you know, I can't imagine like how that, you know, just the range of emotions and what you must have been feeling, you know, in the few days since then. And again, I know this is still probably pretty raw. Have you stopped beating yourself up over some of that lack of preparation yet?
The beating myself up is going to go on for a little while for the lack of preparation. But it's not, I've had some time to sit down and talk to my pacers and crew. I've had some time to sit down and talk to some of my other friends that made it, some of them that didn't make it. And, you know, one of my pacers gave me a very polite ass chewing that, you know, this race was very symbolic about, you know, the way that my summer's been, you know, just a big cluster full of distractions. And so what I've learned was this race was very symbolic about how things have been going for a while. So I've stopped beating myself up about the race, but you know, I've used it as an extreme learning situation for everything. And, you know, so it's very, very, very unfortunate, mm-hmm. but it's also, I've tried to take as many positives out of this as possible. This is my first, DNF. So it's been hard, mm-hmm. but you know, with running as a life, you got to learn everything that you can from a bad situation. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to figure out what I can take out of it to make myself better. You know, as a dad, as a business person, as a runner, whatever it might be, I'm trying to take all the positives I can.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to dive into that a little bit more in just a second. But once again, want to mention that Ultra is kind of the affiliate sponsor, affiliate partner, whatever you want to call it for today's episode. And Gary is the way Gary and I got connected originally and have stayed connected is through the Ultra Ambassador program, the Ultra Ambassador Facebook group that we're both a part of. So, Gary, I would just love to ask me a much more, hopefully, at least much more fun topic to spend a few minutes on. You're an Ultra guy. I'm an Ultra guy. There's enough different Ultra shoes that we don't always, you know, not all of the Ultra people are on the same bandwagon as far as which Ultra shoe that they enjoy or whatnot. But, you know, the folks that listen to the show regularly know that, know my love for the company, but I'd love to get your perspective, I guess is the word I'm looking for. What's your favorite type of Ultra shoe and what do you love about that shoe or just the brand in general the most?
So I run in the Lone Peaks for the trails, and then I run in the Provisions for the roads. And, what actually, I kind of stumbled upon Ultra on accident. I wear a size 15 shoe. I mean, the one thing that's never shrunk on me is my feet. And so I still have huge feet. And, you know, I just happened to be at an expo one day. They had a pair of, the original Olympus on sale, and I was like, they've got the size that fits, and you know, it's wide enough for my foot. And so I picked up a couple pairs and I started running in them. Had no idea about the zero drop, had no idea about any of the actual benefits of the shoe. I just knew they fit. So I started running in them. And after I'd been running in them, I didn't lose a toenail for over a year. And with the miles that I put on, you know, that was a big deal for me. And so I went from the Olympus and I tried, you know, several different shoes for the roads and the trails. And I fell in love with the brand and it, you know, my feet are comfortable and it's, you know, the foot shaped toe box is probably the most important thing for me because of my foot shape, mm-hmm. and the shoe just fits. Doesn't matter what shoe I put on. I've tried them all and I've worn them all, and no matter what shoe I put on, I slide into it. It's comfortable and it's kept me healthy for, you know, for all these miles that I put on, and I wear them, you know, the only pair of shoes I don't have that are, or the only pair of shoes that I wear that aren't Ultra is my flip flops. And I keep hoping that Brian's going to come out with a pair of flip flops for me. So, then I can switch over to that one too.
There you go. There you go. And I think the biggest key there from all that you said is that they just fit, you know, and that's the name of the game when it comes to shoes. Like, I mean, Gary and I were both big Ultra fans, and we'll sing their praises till we're blue in the face, until you're sick of listening to us. But, you know, ultimately you got to find the shoes that work for you. And if you want to give Ultras a shot, you can head over to dizruns.com/ultra. That'll throw a couple shekels my way if you get something, but if not, no worries, check it out. You know, you can learn a little bit about the benefits, the foot shape, toe box, zero drop, and give them a shot. And, you know, every once in a while, and I think right now is still a good time, you know, there's a lot of old models that are still on sale, so you can check them out and maybe, you know, try a pair without paying the full price for the newer models. So just something to think about, but certainly something that Gary and I have found that both work for both of us, and maybe for different reasons, maybe for some of the same reasons. I'm a Lone Peak guy, but I tried the Provisions. I like them, but I like a little bit less shoe, so I like the Escalantes. They're kind of new, and I'm a big fan of those. But whatever you like, you go with it. So shifting back to kind of coming out of Leadville, which again, it's still, you know, when this is released, it'll have been a few weeks ago, but as we're talking, just a few days, you know, I know that, you know, from hearing or from listening to you, I'm going to assume, and I know from past experience that sometimes some of the lessons you learn from those rough experiences, those rough races, those bumps on the road in life, take a little while to fully flesh out and to fully kind of get a grasp of, you know, some of the things that maybe you can learn. But you mentioned before we got talking about the shoes there for a minute that, you know, that's kind of where you are now is what can you learn from this to go forward? So, in the first couple of days that it's been, what are a couple of things, I'm going to assume that maybe doing a little bit better preparation wise might be one of them when it relates to running, but what are some of the other lessons that this experience, this first ever DNF, which is a tough pill to swallow, but you know what, you run enough races, like it's got a pretty good chance of happening to just about everybody if you keep running ultra distance races, especially enough time. So, what are some other lessons that maybe, have at least started to emerge from this experience for you?
Ooh, that's a great, great, great question. You know, no matter, I was physically prepared for this race. I was physically prepared to go 25 hours. My body is in the best shape it's ever been in. I was ready to come. And mentally, I was not. Mentally, I was distracted with a million other things. And when you just look at life in general, you know, you gotta be mentally prepared for whatever you're going to do. And whether that's work or whether that's family, whether it's running, you gotta get yourself mentally prepared. Cause as I mentioned before, you know, when I went into my first 100 in March, I was completely physically unprepared, but I prepared myself mentally. And so, you know, I thought going into Leadville that if I just took that mentality and then physically prepared, you know, it'd be no problem. And I got so caught up in the physical training that I forgot to prep mentally. And so mental preparation's key, whether it's self-development, which, you know that I'm huge into self-development and personal development. You know, so whether you're mentally preparing for work or mentally preparing for family, you got to be mentally prepared, and you got to look at those little bitty details, because that's what's going to make the difference. It's a game of inches. Mm-hmm. Can't miss those inches.
Yeah, something that I don't know that I've ever thought of before, but just hearing you talk about that, it you know, it's a reminder of whatever the, you know, there's some parable or some adage or whatever. And I can't remember all the details, but you know, something where, you know, it's not the big challenge that stops somebody, it's the little pebble in their shoe that you know, prevents them from continuing on. And I feel like in I'm, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to this going, yep, it's something that I need to work on as well. Like, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the long runs or in the doing this part of training or doing this thing or whatever it is, that especially the physical. I think it's real easy to get caught up in focusing there. You know, hearing you talk, it's a good reminder that, you know, as much as I always say that my mental area is my weak link, you know, not only do I need to maybe try to get that mental side up to the physical, but maybe it's something to even invest more time and more effort in to try to bring that mental game, maybe even a little bit be over-prepared mentally. And maybe that would be, you know, if you're going to be out of balance, maybe that's the side to err on, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite books, The Compound Effect, it talks about, have you ever been bitten by an elephant? No. But what about a mosquito? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I've been thinking about that saying for a couple days now, and I've been eaten alive by mosquitoes and still never been bitten by an elephant. So I think the saying goes, is very fitting for this experience.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, I think you're right. The mental aspect of everything is so important. And usually that's my forte. But this time I just let it go.
Well, and you know, again, you know, playing sports psychologist here, which I'm certainly not qualified to play that, but I almost wonder, because that's been something that's from what it sounds like almost really never been your weak link. I almost wonder if maybe it was a case of taking it for granted because it's not been something that you've struggled with in the past very much.
I think you're exactly right. I think I've been so used to just being mentally prepared for everything that I just thought it would be there. I didn't focus on it. And the second you lose focus, whether, you know, if you, even on the trails, one of the things I've always learned on the trails is if you're looking too far ahead, you're going to trip on a rock because you're not paying attention to what's right in front of you. And if, you know, again, with running as in life, if you look too far ahead, you're going to stumble on a rock or a tree branch or, you know, something. You're going to stumble on that little thing that's right in front of your face that you're not focused on.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there. I've, fallen a few times. I guess I don't know if I've ever really fallen on the trail. I've stumbled a few times on the trail, but I'm running in the very, pedestrian trails of Florida here, so we don't have it much for technical stuff to have to worry about. But I've fallen several times running on the sidewalk where, you know, there's just some little unevenness that I completely overlooked. So it's, again, it goes back to that little detail of, you know, something little, you overlook it completely, but it's just enough to clip your toe. And boy, pretty soon you're going, you know, ass over elbows onto the sidewalk in front of you because you didn't pay attention, like you said, to what's right in front of you. So, yeah, lots of parallels in it. It doesn't have to be just trails. It doesn't have to be just ultras. Like it's all around us all the time if we stop and pay attention.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned the compound effect, and I wasn't going to let you get out of here without a couple book recommendations again. So, you know, last time we talked, we talked a lot about when you got started and how you had read a lot of, you know, like I said in the intro, some business books, some self-help, some you know, personal development type of things, and that really kind of helped you get on the path and take the steps that maybe parallel a lot of the intro to running and couch to 5K type of things, but you went at it from a different side, and you gave some great recommendations of books, and I've been chipping away slowly at some of that list, and I've been I've enjoyed them, and it's funny now when I'm reading those books. I listened to the 10X, the Grant Cardone book, most recently was my most recent Audible book that I listened to, and I got it because I remembered that was something that you had recommended before, and I was listening to it, and I was laughing because I was like, you know, some of it I can see exactly how, you know, the business side of the book, which is what it's about, but I could see the running side and just, you know, setting other goals for yourself and shooting big and whatnot. But all that to say, I can't not ask for another couple of book recommendations because the ones you gave before, I've read most of them. I still need to get to the Darren Hardy book, which is one I think that you just mentioned, The Compound Effect. Any other books that you've read in the last year and a half that kind of, you know, might be helpful, whether it's business, whether it's personal development, whether it's running related, that you can recommend for us?
Yeah. So a book that I've read before, but I recently just I picked it up again and reread it, was a book called Fail Forward by John Maxwell. And it's very, very odd that I picked this book up about a week ago and reread it, because everything that he talks about, you know, failure's not final. It's only final if you quit. You know, you have to look at every failure as a stepping stone, not as a stumble. And I thought it was very interesting that I just reread that book, and then I came to Leadville and had the experience that I had. And without that reminder of, you know, it's just a stumble, it's all just a stepping stone. It's very, very, very fitting for Leadville right now. Mm-hmm. And that's a great book because, you know, in business as in life, nothing's going to go perfect. As much as we want it to, as much as we prep for it, you know, we're always going to fail, and failure is not a bad thing. Anybody in business has ever failed. Walt Disney was turned down and rejected for Mickey Mouse, and you know, Howard Schultz was rejected for Starbucks who knows how many times, and you know, all these people have failed, but it was always their next step forward that turned them into the people that they are now. And you know, without failure, what good is success? Because right. It's, you know, you're always winning. You just take it for granted. And so you need that failure to keep you humble. You need that failure to make sure that you really want what you want.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I promised I'll stop focusing on Leadville, but I just have one other quick question on it. I think I kind of might know the answer, both from knowing you and from hearing you talk about it in the past and just from our conversation today as well. But you plan on giving Leadville another shot at some point down the road?
My official answer is my crew would tell me I'm not allowed to answer that question. We have a rule that there's no big decisions that are allowed to be made the 10 days prior or the 10 days post race, whether you win or lose. So, we'll have to chat about that again soon. But, if you were to ask me Sunday after I woke up, I would have said that I'm ready to quit running forever. And then yesterday when I woke up, I was ready to go step on the starting line and just run the course unofficially, just to say that I did it and I actually finished. So, yeah, that's the roller coaster of emotions that's going through my head right now. But no matter what, I will be back to Leadville, whether it's just to come hang out or crew or pace or volunteer, whatever it might be, because this place is special. I love the race series. So I will be back no matter what, whether I run it, you know, next year or enter the lottery, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. That's a decision for another time.
Fair enough. I'm going to read between the lines there, and I know what I think the answer to your question is, or to my question to you is, but I'll keep that to myself at least for another, what do we got, 8 more days until I can press you for the official answer. But anyway, like I said, we'll shift gears a little bit off of that and kind of as we're getting close to wrapping up, dive back into one of my other kind of favorite topics around here, and that's the philosophical question. So, you know, kind of things that you know, very open-ended. It could be a variety. I got, I think, 5 or 6 questions I've written down that I, you know, try to kind of randomly pick one based on how the conversation went. But you know, I think I know because I was listening back here that I was doing this a little bit with you, when we talked before, and it's something that's become a staple of the show these days. Broader picture, you know, we've spent so much time talking on the last, you know, 6 or 8 months between the first 100 and then Leadville. And like I said, I would love to get a little bit broader picture than that for wrapping this up. But with where you are, with the highs and the lows and the ups and the downs that there's been in your running life in the last, you know, in the entirety of your running life, but certainly in the last year and a half, whatever it's been, why do you continue to run? You know, I think for some folks, they would maybe have some of these struggles, have a rough race, and just say, you know, maybe it was almost like you were on Sunday, like you said, the hell with it, I'm done with this, I'm never gonna run again, and yet a lot of folks keep coming back, and it sounds like you're gonna be back, you know, back to running at least before much longer. But why at this point in your life, why is running still an important part of who you are as a person, and as, you know, why are you still a runner? Why do you still run?
Running has given me my life back. From where I came, from sitting on the couch to running 100 miles to failing 100 miles, I absolutely, positively love to get outside. I have met so many friends that have become family to me that I never, ever, ever would have met when I was sitting on the couch. I have explored this world on my feet. I've been to the top of 14ers. I've been to the top of mountaintops with views that you can't even dream about these views. And, you know, it is, exploring the world on my feet is the most, it's the best thing that I've ever been able to do. And the one thing that I'm going to get back to, after all of this, is I'm just going to get back to exploring the views. I'm going to get back to no expectations, no mile requirements, no time requirements. Just go out and just be with the people that I love to be with, places that I love to be at, climb some 14ers, climb some mountaintops, some sunrises, see some sunsets, run in the dark just because I can. And I'm, you know, just going to get back to doing what I love to do, and that's explore the world on my feet. I've been given my life back. I've been given a gift that most people only dream about being able to do. And I'm sitting at a cabin, staring at Hope Pass right now, and all I want to do is just go climb that mountain again. And now Albert's sitting over here on my right, and I just want to go climb it just because I can. And that's the one thing that all of the training has given me, but it's also one thing that it's taken away, is because I just want to go explore the world. And whether that's, you know, a road or a trail that I've never been on, I just want to get back to that. And I would not give my experience back, whether it would have been that 25-hour buckle or whether it was the not finishing. I would never, ever, ever give back the experience that I've had over the last 4 years, all the struggles, everything. I wouldn't give it back. I wouldn't change it for the world, because it's made me the person I am today, the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why I run. Is I love exploring. I love taking pictures. Everybody knows I'm a selfie guy. I love taking the selfies of, you know, random people that I run into on the trail. I love just taking pictures. I love exploring. And, you know, there's no better. You can't get the same views that you can on your feet. You can't drive to these places. Mm-hmm. You can't ride a motorcycle or an ATV to these places. You have to get there on your feet, whether it's running, whether it's walking. And I've been given a gift, and I don't want to waste the gift that I've been given.
Well said and perfectly beautiful. And I'm not even going to try to muddy the waters. Keep exploring, my friend. Keep climbing the mountains. Keep going to different places. You know, rapid recovery from this one, and get the taste out of your mouth and get back out there. Have fun. Cause that's what I kept hearing, is you're just looking forward to having fun, having no pressure. Go do it. Go explore. Have fun. Guys, if you want to follow along, like you said, selfie king, Mr. Gary Stotler over here. So outrunyourexcuses.com is the website, and all the selfies are on all the social medias, Instagram and Facebook at 400226.2. Again, 400TO26.2. And on the Twitter at 400226.2, but that's 400TO26POINT. And then the number 2. And once again, disruns.com/461. We'll have all the connection points, all the places to connect with Gary and follow along you know, all of that stuff. Everything, we link back to the previous episode and everything. Everything will be linked up. Check out the show notes if you want to connect anywhere or hear about anything that we talked about in the show, book titles, all that good stuff will all be there. So, Gary, thank you. For taking the time today. I know it's a little bit of a downer. We were hoping to have a happier conversation today, but it is what it is. You know, you take the lumps, you take the ups, you take the downs, and you learn something and you go forward. So Godspeed going forward, my friend. Keep exploring, keep having fun, and can't wait to do this again at some point. Maybe hopefully not another year and a half down the road, but however long it takes us to line back up. Looking forward to checking back in with you again, and keep doing what you're doing, my man. Take care, and thanks for the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to next time.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Gary and myself. And as always, I would be curious to know what stood out to you from this particular episode. What was your big takeaway? For me, you can probably guess. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably know what stood out to me most from this episode. And that was when Gary was talking about his struggles this year in Leadville, and maybe his oversight or his lack of mental preparations that may have led, and really, I mean, sounds like definitely kind of played a big part in his struggles at this year's race and in his, you know, sadly in his DNF. And it just got me thinking when he was talking about that and about how he was so prepared mentally for his first 100 miler, more so than his physical preparations. He was more mentally prepared than he was physically prepared. And then going into Leadville, the situation was flipped, and he didn't make it. He wasn't able to get through. And that just got me thinking about how, you know, just for myself, how often I focus on the miles, focus on the workouts, but don't spend near enough time going into my races preparing mentally. I talk about it. I've encouraged you guys to do it. We've done quick tips about it. I've done blog posts about it. I've you know, counseled my clients to do it, but it's not something that I've done as much as I should have. You know, I'll do it a little bit, but I don't give it the attention that it deserves. And this was just a good reminder of what can happen when we don't do that, when we don't take the time to prepare mentally. You know, we think we're good. We think we're good physically, but what happens when things don't go quite right? What happens when you see some people who are really struggling that you thought were going to be strong, that you thought were going to do well? And that makes you start to question yourself and your own abilities, which I think is a big part of what happened to Gary. So take the time to you know, do the mental preparations, even if it's not a long 100-mile ultra marathon race. But, you know, if you're going for a half marathon PR, make sure you take the time to do a little bit of mental preparation, to visualize, to, you know, check out the course, to know where the turns are going to be. Are there going to be sharp turns, or is it going to be some broad, you know, broad type of turns that you can really, you don't have to worry about slowing down too much for? Is it a little bit of both? What's the terrain like? Look at all of those things so you can be as prepared mentally as possible, so that when you get, when race day gets here, you can go out there and you can just drop the hammer, and you can, you know, you can go out there and do some things on the race course. And hopefully, you know, have a really great day, and know that you've put the work in there mentally. And that's something that, I'm going to really try to put a focus on for my next race, which, is actually now on the calendar for mid-November. I'll be running a little trail marathon down here. So I'm excited for that, and certainly going to use that as a big test for me mentally. I'm going to be doing some serious work mentally, to try to get stronger there. I'm going to train some as well, obviously, but my focus is all going to be on the mental side of that race. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes, and obviously reporting back on how that works out for me. But that was my takeaway from our chat with Gary today. You know, just the importance of really doing the mental preparations, and how that can probably overcome a lack of physical training, or being a shortness of physical readiness. But being really well physically ready may not be enough to overcome the mental if you didn't take time to prepare mentally. So something to think about, and something that I'm going to certainly implement going forward. But enough of me rambling. What was your takeaway from today? What was your thing that stood out to you most from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/461. And leave a comment there. And that way other folks can see what you had to say, what your thoughts were. And maybe it'll make somebody else think about something that maybe they missed the first time they listened to this episode. So that is it for today. Don't forget DizRuns.com/ultra. If you want to check out the shoes and the apparel and all the things going on at Ultra Running. And you can support the show by using that link as well. So much appreciated. And thanks for the time today, guys. Hope you had a great, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And thanks for taking me with you wherever it was that you were going today. So until next time, thanks again for listening. Take care of yourselves. And we'll talk soon, all right? Take care, guys.